Andy Radford, a petroleum engineer and senior policy advisor for offshore issues at the American Petroleum Institute, a Washington trade group, says BP needs to drill deep to create a relief well with sufficient mass to counteract the force of flowing oil. You have pressure coming up the well from the producing formation. It's thousands of pounds per square inch coming up the hole. You need to be able to overcome that pressure with the kill fluids. The deeper you intersect, the less pump pressure you need to overcome the pressure of the well coming up, says Radford. In a worst-case scenario, the force of one relief well will prove insufficient, requiring drilling of a second, adding further delay. Meanwhile, BP and its industry partners are hatching an array of alternate efforts that have never been tested in ultra-deepwater conditions, 1,500 meters or more of water depth. These include placing a funnel-like structure over the leaks and sucking it to a ship on the surface, pumping chemical dispersants to the leak to break up the oil and keep it from reaching the surface, and crimping the broken riser pipe coming up from the wellhead. Allen says that all of these ideas have promise, but the latter is the more risky since it could interfere with existing crimps in the pipe and actually increase the flow of oil several fold. The flow is very roughly estimated at 5,000 barrels per day currently. Why weren't these alternative methods validated prior to this accident? It's something I'm sure we'll look at, says Radford. While the Deepwater Horizon leak's depth is unprecedented, it was not unanticipated. A report by engineering consulting firm URS Corporation in 2002 concluded that technologies used in shallow waters are no longer adequate for water depths over 1,000 meters. As a result, the environmental consequences of some of the newer deepwater technologies are not well understood. In 2005, petroleum engineering researchers from Texas A&M University suggested that drilling in the dangerous and unknown ultra-deep environment required new blowout control measures. While drilling as a whole may be advancing to keep up with these environments, some parts lag behind. An area that has seen this stagnation and resulting call for change has been blowout control. An analysis of incidents in the Gulf of Mexico by the Texas A&M researchers showed that offshore blowouts had continued at a fairly stable rate since 1960, despite the use of BOPs. Regulators require inspection of BOPs every 14 days. BP says it inspected the Deepwater Horizons 10 days before the blowout. Bommer says the most likely technology change that will come out of Obama's mandated review is the addition of a second independent seafloor BOP. That is unlikely to satisfy some critics who are pushing the Obama administration to withdraw plans to extend offshore oil and gas drilling beyond the Gulf Coast. The bottom line, in our view, is that there is no safe way to drill that is guaranteed and that the safety and cleanup technology has not kept pace with the drilling technology. This is why we are calling for a moratorium on all new drilling, including for exploration, says Jacqueline Savitz, a senior scientist with OCEANA, an international ocean protection advocacy group. Next, in Who Controls Identity on the Web, Christopher Mims writes about how Facebook and Mozilla have contrasting visions for the future of your online identity. The race to own your virtual identity is on. In announcements made just days apart at the end of April, Facebook and the Mozilla Foundation launched parallel efforts to extend the way users are identified and connected on the web. The two approaches are fundamentally different. Facebook's Open Graph protocol uses the OAuth standard, which lets a website identify a user via a third-party site without exchanging sensitive information. Facebook, whose 400 million active users make it the world's largest social network, stands to benefit as other sites come to rely on the information it holds about users and their social connections. The approach taken by the Mozilla Foundation, which makes the Firefox browser, comes in the form of a suite of browser extensions. One of the extensions, called Account Manager, can replace all of a user's online passwords with secure computer-generated strings that are encrypted and protected with a single master password. Mozilla's identity extensions can interact with other identity standards, including Open Graph, OAuth, and OpenID, a standard that allows any website or web service provider to host a social network-style profile of a user. The goal of the Mozilla Foundation's efforts is to establish a set of open standards and protocol